Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
A great prophet has risen in our midst. God has visited his people.
Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes, he saw that a large crowd was coming to him. He said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew what they were going to, that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. You may remember that this year, after the Christmas season ended in January, and we entered into ordinary time, we started reading from the Gospel of Mark, and then that was interrupted by Lent and Easter, and then when we returned to ordinary time, we resumed our reading in the Gospel of Mark. But for a few weeks, I think maybe most of August, if not all of August, every Sunday, we're going to start reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, which you know is the crucial chapter in all of Scripture that gives us so much teaching on the Eucharist. And the church moves us from Mark to John because of this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fish. And it's the only miracle that's actually found in all 4 Gospels. But the advantage of starting to read John now, instead of continuing in Mark with his account of this miracle, is that we're, in a certain sense, the miracle is a launching pad for Christ's extended teaching on the Eucharist. So we're going to be going all through John chapter 6 to hear that. The events that we read about today, we're told Passover was near, they take place about a year before the Last Supper. But the miracle that we hear about is a sign of what Jesus was intending to do in the Eucharist itself. The miraculous feeding of the 5,000 is a powerful sign that God has begun to fulfill the promises that he gave to the people of Israel in the Old Testament, and about which we prayed a moment ago in Psalm 145. The crowd is a witness that Jesus is the promised prophet that, among others, Moses had prophesied that God was going to send. And in the first reading, we heard about Elisha, who was, in a certain sense, a disciple. He was a great prophet himself, a disciple of Elijah. But Jesus, the crowd sees, is much greater than either Elijah or Elisha. Now, this miracle, I think, also teaches us very clearly about how God generally works with us and gives us a good insight into what he expects from us. Of course, Jesus as God could have easily fed the people there from scratch. He didn't have to start with anything. He didn't need any human assistance. But that's not the way he acts. He first asked his disciples what were the resources available. They didn't have money to buy bread for 5,000, but there were the five loaves of bread and the fish available from the boy. So those meager resources were the beginning of what he would complete in an obviously spectacular way. And just like any good parent, God, out of love, wants to give us the joy and dignity of being cooperators with him in what he's doing for us and for others. That's actually part of our human dignity, to have that vocation to be cooperators with God. He wanted to involve these simple men in the most important mission ever, the proclamation of the kingdom and the salvation of the human race. Again, he could have done it all by himself. He could have stayed on earth to the end of time, traveled around all over the world, preached and cured all by himself. But he wanted them and us to share in his mission. He, of course, gave his apostles his message and his authority. And we know from Scripture they were not necessarily the most talented folks around. We know that every one of them was a sinner. Some of them had been big sinners. But they were capable of saying yes to God, to offering him their goodwill and all of their limited talents, including some of that bread and fish, which he went on to multiply. And so I want to say that God expects, in a certain sense, the same thing from you and me. And regardless of how many gifts and blessings the Lord has given us, sometimes we may think that they're a little bit meager compared to what some other folks have. He does want us to give them back to him so that he can do far greater things with them than we could ourselves. We might have received, we imagine, maybe a minimal education in our faith. Maybe even if we went to a Catholic school, we may not remember much. And we're imagining that, you know, gosh, based on what I know, I'm not sure I could be of much help in bringing anybody to Christ. But together with him, he can use what we have to make even us great apostles, even as he did with Peter. We may not be a great teacher, but with God's help, every parent can be the best of teachers to their children. And that's the most important thing of all. We may not have much in the way of material possessions, but when we offer them to God, he might use them to save others' lives in this world or in the next. We might be a little advanced in years. Our health might be failing, and then we wonder what we could give. But again, offering what little we have to God can make us fruitful in the way that he decides. There's a story told of, some of us are old enough to remember these events ourselves. Do you remember the Vietnam War, which raged from the 60s and into the 70s? And it finally ended, you could say, in April, I think it was April 1975, when the North Vietnamese communists rolled over South Vietnam and seized the capital, Saigon. And then even worse things happened. Well, the story is told of the Catholic Archbishop of Saigon, who, when they came into Saigon, he was immediately thrown into prison, and he was held in a rather brutal solitary confinement for 13 years. However, he was allowed to receive a few items regularly from his family, including what he had requested. He requested that they send him his stomach medicine. The family figured this out because he didn't have any stomach medicine, but in a little container labeled medicine, they would send him in from time to time a little bit of wine. And every night he would put a very small piece of bread with three drops of wine and one drop of water into his hand. And he would celebrate Mass from memory. He had an old cigarette case with him, which he used as a tabernacle. And he could occasionally secretly give small particles of the Eucharist to other inmates in the prison. And in prayer, he was led to meditate on the gospel passage we just read, John 6, verses 1 through 15, about the boy with the five loaves and the two fish. And after his release, many years later, he wrote a book called Five Loaves and Two Fish, where he recounted that in prison, he might not have been able to offer the Lord much, but he could start by giving him all that he had left, including all his suffering and his daily Mass. And in the same spirit, that the boy with the loaves and fish had handed them over for greater things to happen. In prison, Archbishop Tuan was able to smuggle out small scraps of paper, kind of a continuous trail of scraps of paper, on which he would write down his spiritual insights. And all of these were eventually published in a book, first in Vietnamese, called The Road to Hope, which had a huge influence on strengthening the faith of Vietnamese Catholics who even today are living under communist persecution. Archbishop Tuan in prison, he also, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, was able to assist in the conversion of a number of his communist guards, and they were secretly baptized into the Catholic Church at a time when he was allegedly in solitary confinement. And he knew, even in these circumstances, that he was not entirely helpless, and that what meager gifts he had, he could offer them, and great miracles were possible. And it was his faithful witness to Christ in the face of all types of hardship and brutality, even today, which is a real source of strength for the Vietnamese people in keeping them faithful in the face of the persecution that they encounter every day. We can say that in our own way, in our own circumstances, whatever our circumstance might be, we're called to follow the pattern of Archbishop Tuan in our daily offering of whatever we have to the Lord, in giving him whatever we have so that he can use it to feed others and to multiply its effects. And the most fitting place to offer this gift to the Lord is in union with Jesus Christ here in the sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass is where we unite all our gifts, our hopes, our sufferings, our desires, to those of Jesus Christ. And you know the reason, one reason we take up the collection just as the liturgy of the Eucharist is beginning, is because this is the time in the Mass when explicitly, you might say, that we're called to offer our loaves and fish, to put them in the hands of the Lord when we're called to be generous. The hosts and the wine that are brought forward, those are specifically signs of everything that we are offering to the Lord in this Mass, including, especially ourselves. The Eucharist, the Mass, is the reality to which the miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fish points. In the Eucharist, Jesus takes bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and gives it once more in a multiplication that is even more miraculous. It's a multiplication that indeed stretches over the centuries. It's a multiplication that stretches to every land on earth. This sacrifice, which we are about to enter into, is the sacrifice that has fed billions of God's children over 2,000 years to prepare them for the heavenly banquet. And as we prepare this morning to share in the sacrifice, in this great ongoing continuous miracle, let us pray for the courage and generosity to offer our whole lives, even if they're broken, offer our whole lives to Christ and to his service.